So I used to tell employers with fewer than 15 employees, you know, employment practices liability insurance is pretty pricey, and at your size, I'm not 100% sure it's really worth the premiums for you, because your odds of getting sued are so much less than employers with 15 or more. So, you know, obviously it's your call, but, you know, I'd really weigh that out. And we can talk about what your risks are, what the likely suits would be for you. But I'm not sure it's worth it. Now I'm saying, oh, yeah, you're a tiny little employer. You don't happen to have $150,000 lying around to pay a lawyer to defend a bogus claim. You know what? I'd get that employment practices liability insurance now, because you could get sued by a single employee claiming sexual harassment, and it costs the same to defend a claim and lose it as it does to defend a claim and win it. So it's pricey. And if you don't happen to have that kind of budget that can afford that, then you're kind of up a creek without a paddle. So it applies to all employers. It allows for potential individual liability. We'll talk about that later. But that is huge, because that's not true under federal law, and it's never been true under state law until now, for purposes of discrimination and harassment. Now, you can have individual liability under the Family Medical Leave Act, but not under this. But now we have a change. So, the standard that I've talked about all along has always been that employers, when they hear about it, have to take prompt and appropriate action in response to harassment concerns. The way the Texas statute is worded, it's immediate and appropriate. I'm not sure, I don't know what the courts are going to do with that in terms of, obviously, immediate sounds like a higher standard than prompt, but it's out there. And until we get some cases under this statute, we really don't know what the courts are going to do with it. Prompt already was a pretty high standard, but immediate is scary standard. So there's just nothing that, I mean, you just got to jump on it. It has an expanded statute of limitations, and all of this went into effect September 1 last year. The amendments that were made don't apply to any other protected class type harassment. Doesn't apply to age, race, national origin, religion, disability, or even gender, non-sexual discrimination or harassment. So if I am telling you dumb blonde jokes or jokes that are against women, you know, that's generally not considered sexual harassment under this statute, right? So if I'm just treating you differently because of your gender, that's probably not going to qualify for these amendments. The question is whether it's sexual harassment. It also doesn't apply to any kind of retaliation claim. So if you have one employee, you can't be sued for retaliation. Sexual harassment defined by statute. Now, these are the definitions under the state statute. So when I talked about having your handbook mirror the state language, this is the language. And it's very similar to what we had before, but it's a little bit different. So why those differences were made, I don't know. But unwelcome sexual advance, a request for a sexual favor, or any other verbal or physical conduct of a sexual nature when submission is made a term or condition of employment, whether explicitly or implicitly, or submission or rejection is used as the basis for a decision affecting the individual's employment. Pretty similar to our prior definitions. Hostile environment harassment is defined under the Texas statute. Any unwelcome sexual advance, a request for sexual favor, or any other verbal or physical conduct of a sexual nature when it has the purpose or effect of unreasonably interfering with an individual's work performance or creating an intimidating, hostile, or offensive work environment. Okay. The unreasonably interfering with an individual's work performance or creating an intimidating, hostile work environment, yeah, that's part of our normal definition. Purpose or effect, that's new. Okay? Effect, I get. Okay? It has to unreasonably interfere. That's the effect. The effect is unreasonably interfere. You just added a word. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change that. Purpose? I'm confused. So if my intent, if my purpose was to interfere, but I didn't actually interfere, but my purpose was to interfere, I'm still liable. Arguably. I mean, that's the way I read it. Purpose or effect, not purpose and effect, purpose or effect. So if my intent is to unreasonably interfere or create an intimidating, hostile, or offensive working environment, I'm liable even if I didn't do it, even if it didn't happen. Once again, we'll have to see what the courts do with it. Once again, applies to all employers. Individual liability. The definition of employer under the amendment includes an individual who acts directly in the interest of an employer in relation to an employee. Okay, so it's basically an agent. It can be an owner, a manager. Now, this isn't from the statute. This is my interpretation of what that sentence means. And courts could disagree with me. But to me, that means an owner, owners, managers, supervisors, arguably HR representative, potentially even coworkers and contractors face potential individual liability. I don't think the intent was to go to the coworkers or contractors. I definitely think owners, managers, and managers and supervisors were. I think probably HR as well, because of the way it's worded. Because when you look at what is actually illegal under this amendment, I think you'll understand. So, what is it illegal?